We're on Kuf Chaf Beis, Amud Aleph, the last daf, Masechtas Yevamos, seven lines down at the second word on the line where it says, Abba Yudan. The Mishnah teaches that if a non-Jew happens to mention that the Jewish man has passed away, we can use that as evidence that in fact that person has passed away to permit his wife to get remarried. It's called Mesiach Lefi Tumo, person who is engaging in a casual conversation, and in the course of that mentions that a Jewish man passed away. This can be accepted as sufficient evidence to establish that the person in question indeed passed away. Where today begins with the Braisa, which relates some actual cases in which this halacha was put into practice. Braisa states, Abi Yudon Ish Tzaidan Amar, Maisa B'Yisrael Va'uvi Kochovim Shaholchu Baderach. There was once a Jew and a non-Jew traveling together. Uba uvi kochavim v'yomar, chaval al Yehudi shahaya imi baderach, shemeis baderach u'kivartiv. What a pity that so-and-so, this other Jew who I was once traveling with, he died during our travels and I buried him. The Braisa tells us on the basis of this information that this non-Jew had mentioned in passing, v'yasiu ishto, Rabbanan permitted the person's wife to remarry. And there was another case with a group who was traveling to Antiochia. And there was this non-Jew who mentioned, it's a pity on that the group was traveling to Antiochia. They died and I buried them. And on the basis of this statement, the Rabbanan said, their wives may get remarried. So we see that we may rely on this kind of statement even in the case of a whole group of people. The Raisa continues, Vishuv Maisa Mishishim Mine Adam Shahayu Mahalchin Lacharkum Beitar. There was once a group of 60 people who were traveling to the siege of Beitar. So this was a time of war. Uba Ovi Kochavim Biyamar Chaval Al Shishim Mine Adam Shahayu Mahalchim Mederech Beitar Shamesu Ukivartim. Pity on those 60 people who were traveling to Beitar, but they died and I buried them. On the basis of this statement, the Rabbanan permitted their wives to remarry. The Aruch Lanier explains that with this case, the Braisa makes the point that even though this was a time of war, and so there's a greater likelihood that maybe a person would presume that other people died in the war, so maybe in such a case, we need a stronger evidence. The Braisa says no. Even in such a case, if it's mentioned as matter-of-factly in passing by even a non-Jew, that is deemed a sufficient proof to permit the wife to remarry. We begin the next Mishnah, which teaches, Me'idin le'or haner le'or levana. A witness may testify that he saw a man die to have his wife permitted to remarry, even if the witness was only able to see this by the light of a lamp or the moon. And the Mishnah states, you may see an alpi baskol. We may even permit a woman to get remarried on the basis of an unidentified voice, meaning someone called out, so-and-so has died, but we never find out who made that proclamation. Nonetheless, this would be considered sufficient testimony to establish the man died and would permit his wife to get remarried. The Mishnah relates, Maisa ba'echad sha'omar al rosh ha'har va'omar. There was once a case where someone got up on a mountain and called out, Ish ploni ben ploni mimakum ploni mace. Said, so-and-so, son of so-and-so, from such and such a place, has died. Holchu v'lomotsu shamadam. They went to the top of the mountain, nobody was there. And yet v'isiu es ishto. The runner permitted the person mentioned in this statement to remarry. Vishov Maisa Bitsalmon, and there was another case in Salmon, Biyachat Shomar Ani Ish Ploni Ben Ish Ploni, Nishachani Nachash Vare Ani Mace. Someone cried out, he called out, you know, who he was, he said his name. He said, I've been bitten by a snake, I'm dying. Vehochu. They went over there to investigate and found a corpse. Velohiki Ruhu. They could not recognize him. Could be that the snake bite caused him to get disfigured, and yet v'holchu v'hisiu es ishto. Rabbanan permitted the wife of the man named in his statement. Where it begins with a Braisa Amar Rabba Bar Shmuel Tana was taught in a Braisa Beishamai Omrim Ein Meisian Alpi Baskol. Shammai says that no, if we hear some voice that says so and so died, we cannot allow the wife to get remarried on that basis. If we don't know who gave the testimony. But Ubeis Hillel Omrim Meisian Alpi Baskol. Beis Hillel says we may allow her to get remarried on the basis of an unidentified voice. Mara wonders, my Kamash Malan, what does Rabbi Bar Shmuel want to convey to us by citing this Raisa? Why must Nisan he? Wouldn't we gather as much from our Mishnah itself? For our Mishnah is an anonymous Mishnah which teaches that to permit the wife to remarry, we could rely on unidentified voice, which would suggest that that's how we rule. The Raisa which says that that's what Beis Hillel rules, and of course we rule like Beis Hillel, appears to be but to echoing the critical point of our Mishnah, that the halacha is we could rely on an unidentified voice to permit women to get remarried. So what is this Braisa at? Gemara answers, HaKamash Malan, the Mishkacha Stama, the Ein Mesiyan Beishamahi. Rabbi Bar Shmuel cites this Braisa so that we understand that should we come across a different anonymous Tanaic source that descends from our Mishnah and rules that we can't allow women to get remarried on the basis of an unidentified voice, we should know that that other source does not reflect the accepted halacha, but instead presents the opinion of Beis Shammai. The Mishnah related the case of a voice that came from a mountain saying, so-and-so has died. They went up the mountain and found nobody there, and yet the Rabbanan permitted the named person's wife to remarry. The Gemara objects, how could they do so? V'dilma shade have. Perhaps the voice had emanated from a demon. Perhaps it wasn't a human voice at all. The Gemara answers, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Shira'u lo demus adam. The observers were able to see that there was something at the top of the mountain at the time they heard the pronouncement that took the shape of a human being. The Gemara asks, that would not rule out the possibility that this was a demon, for inhu nami damu. Demons do take a human kind of form. The Gemara answers, the chazule bevoa. No, because they saw that whoever made this statement had a shadow. The Gemara says, how would that prove anything? Ve'inu nami eslu bevoa. Demons also make a shadow. The Gemara answers, the chazule bevoa divavoa. The people below were able to discern that whoever made this announcement had a shadow of a shadow. Certain points during the day, person makes two kind of shadows, a darker one that's closer, a lighter one that extends further. They observe that whoever made this announcement had those two shadows. The Gemara asks, V'dilma lididhu islu bavo devavoa. Perhaps even demons produce that. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar li Yonasan Shida. Yonasan the demon said to me, Bavoa islu bavoa divavoa leslu. While demons make shadows, they don't make the double shadows we described. And so the voice unmistakably came from a human. The Gemara asks a different question. How could the Rabbanan permit this man's wife to remarry on the basis of the voice, which was not identified? V'dilma tsara havai. Perhaps the pronouncement came from a co-wife, in which case, as we learned in Kuf Yitzhak, we would not be able to rely on that to permit a woman to remarry, because there's a presumed animosity there. Gemara answers, Tana debay Rabbi Yishmol, Vishas hasakana kosvin vinosnin afal pi she'in makirim. In a time of danger, such as this, it's referring to where a man cries out from a pit, where presumably his life is in danger, that I'm so-and-so, please write a get, give that to my wife before I die so she doesn't fall to my brother in Yibam. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel rules that even though there is a slight possibility that maybe it's some imposter, some person who wants to ruin this man's wife's life, we don't have to worry about that possibility. For it's Shasa Sakana, this person's life is in danger. There's this one opportunity here to give the wife a get, therefore we give her the get. So the same thing here. Yes, it's theoretically possible that the voice which testified the man died came from some disgruntled person or someone who has resent for this woman. She's doing it on purpose to ruin her life, but it's not likely. certainly the principle of rov would dictate that the voice did not come from such a person, and being that this might be our one chance, might be the only evidence we have to allow this woman to get remarried. She might otherwise remain niguna for the rest of her life. We therefore can assume that this didn't come from Tzara or some other person who would lie, would make this up on purpose just to ruin her life. Rather, we could rely on this and allow her to get remarried. We learned earlier that the halacha is we could accept testimony from almost any person to establish that a woman's husband has died to permit her to remarry. That is, first of all, we could accept testimony of even a single witness. Not only that, we can accept the testimony of a person who normally is completely disqualified from serving as a witness, like a woman or a slave, or in certain cases a non-Jew, or a minor. But in this next mission, we learned that it wasn't always this way. Eventually, the halacha developed to the point where it became that lenient. There was a period of time, we learn, in which the standard of testimony was not relaxed at all in terms of proving that a man has died so that her wife can get remarried. The mission begins, Amar Rabbi Akiva, Kishi Aradati Linaharda La'abir Ashana. Akiva relates, so when I went down to Naharda to oversee the process of establishing that calendar year, that year as a leap year, Matsasi Nechemya Ish Beis Dali. I met with a sage, Nechemya Beis Dali Amarli, who said to me, Shamati Shein Messiah Nesaisha Beretz Yisrael Al Pied Echad. I heard that the Rabbanan Eretz Yisrael do not permit a woman to get remarried on the basis of a single witness, Ella, the Messiah Sashas Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava, except for one sage, Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava. He, I hear, is the one halachic authority in Eretz Yisrael who accepts testimony of a single witness to allow a woman to get remarried. We know Mesila, Rebbe Kiva says, I replied to him, Kein advarim, that's true. Amrli Nechemya Yish Beis Dali then said to me, I would like to change that. I would like Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava's position to be more widely adopted. So Emr Lahem Mishmi, tell all of the Rabbanan Eretz Yisrael in my name, Atem Yodim Sheham Medina Mishubeshes Begayasos. First explain to them why I can't come and report this myself. You know how the political situation here is dire. There are these dangerous troops going back and forth, so it would not be prudent for me to try and make the trip there to Eretz Yisrael to relate this personally. But he said to Rabbi Akiva, tell them in my name that Mekublani Mirabban Gamliel Hazakain. I have a tradition going back to Rabban Gamliel Hazakain himself, Shemesian Esaish Al Pied Echad, that we may permit a woman to get remarried on the basis of just one single witness. Akiva continues, Ukashabasi, we heard Seisi Advarm Lifnei Rabban Gamliel. When I came back there to Israel and relayed the message to Rabban Gamliel, the grandson of Rabban Gamliel Hazakein, Somach Lidvarai, he rejoiced in my words of Amr and said, Matsanu Chaver L'Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. We've now found a colleague, a supporting opinion, a more halachic basis for what until now was an isolated view of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. And mitoch hadavar nizkar Rabban Gamliel shenergu arugim b'tel arza. And because of their discussion of this topic, Rabban Gamliel recalled that there was a bunch of men who had apparently been killed in Tel Arza. But the problem is that there was only one witness who was able to testify that they had been killed. But now, armed with this new information, Hasi Rabban Gamliel Nishosayan Al Piedechat. Rabban Gamliel went and permitted all the wives of those men that the single witness had testified had died. That's how the text of the version of our Mishnah, the Gemara, reads in the Mishnayos. It's a bit of a different reading, according to which Rabban Gamliel here recalled that his grandfather, Rabban Gamliel Hazakein, had permitted these men who were killed in Tel Arza. And in the version of the Mishnayos, there's another clause that's added here, which says, V'huchsaku li'yos me'si'in al pi'ed achad. On the basis of this tradition from Rabban Gamliel Hazakein, the halacha then took hold, became established, to indeed permit a woman to remarry on the basis of a testimony of just a single witness that the husband had died. And further, V'huchsaku li'yos me'si'in aid mi pi'ed. The halacha got progressively more and more lenient, and for the sake of the Iguna, the Rabbanan were able to build the case to be even more lenient, that first of all, we could accept even hearsay, one witness saying what another witness said, that this man died, mipi'eved, and that we could even accept testimony from a person who is normally inherently disqualified to serve as a witness in Bezdin, so for example, from a slave, mipi'isha, or from a woman, mipi'shifcha, or a slave woman. The Mishnah continues and presents an opinion that's applied before the change mentioned above. That is Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua Omrim, Ein Meisin Esa Isha Pi Eidachan. They both said that we may not allow women to remarry on the basis of a testimony of a single witness that her husband died. So this reflects again the consensus opinion in Eretz Yisrael before Nechemi Ish Beistali sent the tradition from Rimalil HaZakein, permitting her to remarry on the basis of a single witness. The Mishnah presents an opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lo al pi isha, v'lo al pi eved, v'lo al pi shivcha, v'lo al pi karovim. So Rabbi Akiva's statement is relevant in the post in Nechemi Ish Beistali era, after they had sent that tradition, permitting her to remarry on the basis of one single witness. The Mishnah says Rabbi Akiva did not extend the leniency further to accept the testimony of any person who normally is inherently disqualified from serving as a witness. Therefore, we may not accept the testimony of a woman, slave woman, or person related to one of the parties to establish that the husband has died. Rather, we only accept the testimony of a kosher witness, just we're lenient in the regard that it could be even just one witness. But again, the Mishnah told us that eventually the consensus was to rely on the testimony of even the individuals enumerated by Rabbi Akiva. Where it begins by questioning the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that's presented at the end of the Mishnah. V'sav Rabbi Akiva pishalow. Really, Rabbi Akiva holds that we cannot rely upon the testimony of a woman to establish that a woman's husband died for her to get remarried. V'hatanya. It says in Ebraisa the following: the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Isha Nemenes Lahavi Gita Mikal V'Chomer. He asserts that a woman to bring her own get from outside of Eretz Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael to the Bezdin, where she will confirm that the get was written and signed in my presence. She will help to verify the get. The woman is believed to do so for her own get, based on the following Kal V'Chomer. Umad Nashim Sha'amru Chachamim E Nemanos Lomar Mezbala Nemanos Lahavigitehen. If even the five women listed in the Mishnah Kuf Yud Zayin were not believed to testify that a woman's husband has died, because there's an animosity there, their kind of relationship, their type of relatives who normally don't like her, so they're not believed to testify that her husband passed away, maybe they're just trying to ruin her life by falsely testifying to that effect. Yet, as we said in the Mishnah Kuf Yud Zayin, even these women would be believed to bring this woman's get and to verify, b'fanei nechtam, the get was written properly. For as we explained there, it's really the get itself that does the heavy lifting in terms of establishing that this is a valid divorce. Mikiva argues, if so, zu shenemenes lomer meis bala. Well then, since the halacha is that, you know, everybody agrees that if the woman herself testifies her husband died, we believe her and allow her to get remarried. Eino din shenemenes lavi gita. Surely then, the wife herself should be believed to verify that her own get is valid. The Gemara infers, what does Rabbi Akiva in this brisa say? Nashim sha'amru chachamim hu delo mehebni. He makes a reference to the ruling of Kuf Yud Zayin. There's certain select women, because there's a tension there, there's animosity in the relationship, so they're not believed to testify that this woman's husband died. This clearly implies Isha ba'alma mehemna, that a regular woman off the street, a random woman who walks in and says this woman's husband died, is believed. So that directly contradicts what Rabbi Akiva said in our Mishnah, that Lo al pi isha, we do not accept the testimony of a woman to establish that a woman's husband has died. The Gemara answers, Lo kasha. Kan kodem shechziku, kan la'achar shechziku. The statement of Rabbi Akiva presented in our Mishnah was Rabbi Akiva's opinion prior to the development described in our Mishnah of how the halacha got progressively more lenient. So in that the previous time, Rabbi Akiva held that while we could accept one man's testimony, a woman's husband died, we could not accept a woman's. But then, as our Mishnah said, the halacha developed and eventually became accepted. The consensus was to trust even a woman's testimony that a woman's husband died. Rabbi Akiva himself accepted that change in halacha, and his words in the Braisa we quoted reflect that later view of Rabbi Akiva. The next Mishnah continues regarding Rabbi Akiva's opinion that, again, he held before the halacha developed further. Rabbi Akiva, for a time, took the position that we accept the testimony of a single kosher male witness, but we wouldn't accept the testimony of, let's say, a woman who normally is not able to serve as a witness. The Mishnah says, Omru lo, Rabbanu question Rabbi Akiva by pointing to a Maisa b'nei Levi shehochu litzoar isha tamarim. There were once some Levium who traveled to Tzoar, the city of date palms. V'chala echad mehem, on the journey, one of these Levium fell ill. So v'aviyu b'fundak, they brought him to an inn where he could rest and try and recuperate. The other Levium continued on their way. V'chazarasam amru lafundak asayecha reinu. Upon their return, they came to the inn and asked the woman innkeeper, where is our friend? Numes lahem, she replied, Mesukavartiv, he died and I buried him. And on the basis of her response, Visius Ishto, the Rabbanan permitted that Levi's wife to remarry. And so the Rabbanan argued, Velote Kohenes Kifundakis, should an esteemed Bas Kohen, for example, who comes and testifies that a woman's husband has died, not be as trusted as the woman innkeeper of this story, or really any Jewish woman who gives such testimony? Surely she should. Amler Biki replies, L'keshetehe kafundakis nemenes. Should some Jewish woman have the same type of supporting evidence that this innkeeper had, indeed she would be believed. But Biki is saying it wasn't on the strength of this innkeeper's testimony by itself that the matter became established. Rather, the innkeeper in that story was able to produce all of the personals of the Levi who had stayed there, who had fallen ill, including his staff, his money pouch, and the Sefer Torah he was carrying with him. The fact that she had these things and yet he was gone provided, you know, circumstantial evidence independent of her raw claim that indeed he had succumbed to the illness and died and she had buried him. So Akiva says that story does not refute my opinion that, generally speaking, we do not accept the testimony of a woman to establish that a woman's husband has died. Turning to Amud Beis, the Gemara begins, in their argument to Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbanan argued that if the innkeeper of this story was believed, then surely a Jewish woman, let's say a Bas Kohen of a fine lineage, should be believed. So clearly the premise of this argument is that the innkeeper of this story should have less credibility than a regular Jewish woman. The question is, my griusa de fundakis. Why is a woman who happens to be an innkeeper less trustworthy than other women? The Gemara answers, Amrav Kehana explains, fundakis ovedes kochavim maisa. The innkeeper of this story was a non-Jewish woman. So that, you know, clearly answers the question of why it is less likely we would trust her than a Jewish woman. Certainly a Kohenes, really any Jewish woman. But this, you know, raises a different question, namely that, oh, if the innkeeper of that story wasn't Jewish, why indeed did the Rabbanim believe her? When, as we saw previously, the halacha, as everybody agrees, that if a non-Jew testifies that a Jewish man died, we cannot rely on that to permit that man's wife to get remarried. Rav Kahana explains, Mesicha lefituma haisa, when she said, Zemakla v'zat tarmila v'zat kevesh shekevarte bo. The innkeeper was just relating something. It just came up. And she mentioned, here the personals of the Levi who had stayed here, he left here, he died and I buried him. The point is that her statement wasn't deemed to be, you know, an assertion she was making, you know, trying to establish something in particular. It's just something that they came up. And the halacha is, if even a non-Jew mentions something in conversation, if Mesiach Lefei Tumo, and they happen to mention some information that has major halachic ramifications, they mention how this person died, which means the wife could get remarried, then that can be relied on. Now, Tosa explains, you can't say there's a pure, straightforward case of Mesiach Lefei Tumo, for if that were so, how could the Rabbanan argue from this case that if the innkeeper was believed, then surely a Jewish woman should be believed? Why the innkeeper was not believed in the capacity of a witness? So it's not comparable to the question of can we believe a woman who is testifying as a witness? So we have to say that to some extent, this was a considered testimony, just not to the point where we have a problem that it's testimony of a non-Jew that we don't trust. It was casual enough to trust it, but in either case, the Rabbanan argue that if ultimately we're willing to trust this innkeeper, that we should believe a Jewish woman who testifies that a man has died, and to that Rabbi Akiva responds that no, it's totally different, because there was circumstantial evidence lending support to her claim that the man had died there. Or you could say Rabbi Akiva says, you know, that's purely because of the idea of something just mentioned in casual conversation. In the end, Rabbi Akiva is going to say that the particulars of the innkeeper case are different than a standard case of a woman coming in to testify, and that in the latter case, we would not accept that testimony to establish that the husband died. And the Gemara brings an ally for Rav Kahana, V'chein Tani Abba B'rei D'Rav Minyumi Barchia. He too taught that Tipundakis Ovedas Kochavim Ha'isa Misicha Lefi Tuma Ha'isa Zamakla V'za Tarmilo V'za Kevesh Hekevartiv Bo. The same thing, that the innkeeper of our mishnah was not Jewish, and yet the Rabbanim believed her because it was, you know, close enough to a situation of a non-Jew mentioning something in casual conversation for it to be credible, so it was believed. But the Gemara questions this reading of the Mishnah, how could you say that, oh, she just mentioned this fact that the Levi had died in conversation? What do you mean? His travel companions specifically asked her about this. They directly asked her, where is our friend? What happened to him? So how can you argue that that's something that just came up? It didn't just come up. They asked her a specific question, and she gave an answer. That's much closer to formal testimony, establishing that something is true. And so why are they able to believe her? The Gemara answers, we're adding another detail to the story, that in fact, even the Chazisinu Bachi, as soon as she saw the Levi's travel companions approaching, she started to cry, unprompted. And only then, Amrullah Ayechav Reinu, did they ask her, where is our friend? We left here, Amrullahem Mesik Vartiv. And she answered, he has died, and I buried him. So since, you know, she began to cry before being asked, that's considered more organic, more like Mesich Lefi Tumo, and therefore was, you know, credible enough for that to be believed. And the Rabbanan say, well, if she was believed, surely a Jewish woman should be. Mikiva says, no. And this case is different in light of the circumstantial evidence that was present. Where continues with Ebraisa Tan Rabbanan, the Rabbanan Tan, and Ebraisa. Ebraisa relates, Maisa ba'adam echad sheba lahayid ala isha lifnei Rabbi Tarfon. Person once came to testify before Rabbi Tarfon concerning a woman, meaning to testify that her husband had died. Amr Lord Rabbi Tarfon asked this witness, Bini heyach ati yodea be'itas isha zu. How did you come by this knowledge that you say this woman's husband died? Amari replied, and Iva hu hayinu halcha medechers, it happened. He and I were traveling in the road, v'radav achrinu gayas. We were chased by a group of soldiers, v'nidla b'yichar shal zayas v'shocho. My friend ripped an olive branch off the tree, and with that, v'yichziras hagayas lachor, was able to beat back this group of soldiers. Seems that they weren't too heavily armed. And which when amarti lo aryeh yishar kochecha, I addressed him as Aryeh, which means lion. I said, Shkoyach. Now, great job at beating back those guys. Now, apparently, these travel companions didn't actually know each other. They, I guess, just bumped into each other and were traveling side by side on the road. And so, Amar Li, he said to me, Minayin ato yodea she'aryeh shemi. How did you know my name is Aryeh? For indeed, kach korin osi be'iri, Yochanan Berebi Yohonasan Aryeh de Mikvar Shichaya. Back at home, my city, I am known as Yochanan, the son of Rabbi Yohonasan, lion, of the village of Shechayim. And so the witness explained to Rabbi Tarfon, that's how I learned this man's name. And they continued, Liyomim Chola Umeis. A few days later, this Yochanan, Rabbi Yohanasan Aryeh, passed away. On the basis of this testimony, Vihisi Rabbi Tarfon es Ishto. Rabbi Tarfon permitted Yochanan, Rabbi Yohanasan Aryeh's wife, to get remarried. The Gemara notes the fact that Rabbi Tarfon did not pursue the line of questioning further in any attempt to cross-examine the witness. The Gemara asks, Rabbi Tarfon, lo bayid rishav hachakira. Is it Rabbi Tarfon's view that when it comes to a dosisha, when we're trying to process testimony to determine whether a woman's husband has died, that we do not subject the witnesses to any kind of real cross-examination? I veha tanya. We have a brisa with basically the same story, but in this brisa's version of the story, Rabbi Tarfon did cross-examine the witness. The brisa says as follows: Ma'isa ba'adam echad shebal lifnei Rabbi Tarfon lo yilei this isha. The witness once came before Rabbi Tarfon, wanted to testify that a woman's husband had passed away so she could get remarried. Amar lo Rabbi Tarfon asked him, B'ni heyach ata yodea edazu? How did you discover this? On what basis do you say this man died? Amar lo, he replied, Anivahu ayinuach mederech. He and I were traveling in the road. We happened to meet each other. We're traveling next to each other. Radav achrinu gayos. And a group of soldiers started to chase us. V'nitla v'yichar te'inu v'shocho. In this version, he says, the person traveling next to me grabbed a fig branch, ripped it off the tree. V'hechziras ha'gayos l'chorv. And with that, beat back the soldiers who were chasing us. And they congratulated him. Amarti lo shir kochacha aryeh. Shkoyach aryeh. Are you a strong lion? Amar li, he said, well, look at that. Yafik ivanta lishmi. You correctly guessed my name. Shekach korno sibiri. For so I'm called in my city, Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh de Mikvar Shechaya. I am Yochanan, son of Yonasan, lion of the village of Shechaya. The Yom Chalameis, he continued that after a few days, he passed away. So this was the witness's testimony. In response to this, Rabbi Tarfon asked the witness, Lokach amarta li Yochanan ben Yonasan de Mikvar Shechaya Aryeh? Okay, so let me have this straight. You said the person who died was named Yochanan, son of Yonasan, and he was from the village of Shechaya Lion, right? That's what you said? Rabbi Tarfon was testing here to see if he really had all of his facts straight to corroborate the testimony. Amarle, the witness, I passed the test. He said, "Lo, elakach amarti lach." What I said to you was, "Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh de Mikvar Shechaya." His name, Aryeh is in his name. His name's Yochanan ben Yonasan Aryeh. He's from a village, Shechaya. The village isn't called Lion. V'diktik alav shnayim u'shlosha pa'amim. Rabbi Tarfon continued in this manner, two or three times, going through the details, trying to see if he could trip up the witness. V'kivin es dvarav. But the witness's account remained consistent. He got through the cross-examination just fine. Whereupon, Vihisir Rabbi Tarfon es Ishto. Rabbi Tarfon ruled, okay, testimony is good, and the wife, therefore, could get remarried. So in this Bryce's version of the story, Rabbi Tarfon apparently took the position that the Beis Din is required to cross-examine a witness who comes in to try and establish that a woman's husband has died. The Gemara answers, Tanaihi. Indeed, there is a dispute of Tanayim on this very question. The Tanya, as we see in the following Braisa. Braisa begins, Ein bodkin eidei nashim midrisha v'chakira. We do not subject a witness coming to testify that a woman's husband has died to cross-examination and very detailed questioning. Divi Rabbi Akiva, these are the words of Rabbi Akiva. Ram says we specifically do not do so, mishumiguna, because we don't want to make it too difficult for a woman to be able to get remarried. Basically looks like credible testimony, then we could rely on that along with the other factors that allow us to permit women to get remarried. So says Rabbi Akiva. The Raisa says, however, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Bodkin. Rabbi Tarfon says, we do so interrogate the witnesses with the Drishan Chakira, with the cross-examination, etc. And so clearly the second version of the story with Aryeh that we quoted above agrees with this last brisa, that this is Rabbi Tarfon's view, that the requirement to cross-examine the witnesses applies even in the case of a testimony to establish that a woman's husband has died. Whereas the earlier Braisa we quoted apparently understands that Rabbi Tarfon does not hold that way. Rather, he agrees with Rabbi Akiva that when it comes to testimony to establish that a woman's husband has died, we do not cross-examine the witnesses. Gemara further elaborates v'kemiflegi with the Rabbi Chanina. The underlying dispute relates to a teaching from Rabbi Chanina. The Yom Rabbi Chanina, that is, Rabbi Chanina taught that Devar Torah, Echad Dine Mamines ve'Echad Dine Nefashos v'Drisha v'Chakira. On the biblical level, the requirement to cross-examine the witnesses applies to both monetary and capital cases. Shenemar is indicated by the Pasuk in Emor, which, after having discussed a monetary case, a capital case, it states, Mishpat Echad Yelachem, there shall be one law for you. And being that the Torah already says clearly that when it comes to a capital case, we have to cross-examine the witnesses, it says that in the context of the case of Yerni Dachas, so Mishpat Echad Yelachem tells us to apply that requirement to monetary cases as well. Matam Omru Dine Mominus Ein Tzrich and Drisha V'Chakira. So why is it that in practice, witnesses come in for a monetary case? The court does not subject the witnesses to tense cross-examination. Why did the Chacham essentially tell us not to, in practice, apply the Torah requirement of Drisha V'Chakira when it comes to monetary cases? Shilotino delas bifnei lovin. Rabbanu made this decision so as not to shut the door in the face of potential borrowers, meaning that lenders would be much more reluctant to lend out money, which they do with loan documents, knowing that maybe in the intense drisha v'chakira process, the witnesses will be invalidated, and then they'll be out their money. So Rabbanu used their power to control commerce to say that we don't actually implement this when it comes to monetary cases. We don't subject the witnesses to intense cross-examination. Okay, so there's that teaching of Rabbi Chanina. The key point is that he's saying that in practice, in a capital case, we do drisha v'chakira, but in a monetary case, we do not do drisha v'chakira. We don't cross-examine the witnesses. So with my kemiflegi, so what's the dispute then over here regarding whether a witness who wants to testify that this woman is no longer a married woman is subjected to cross-examination? The Gemara explains, Mar Savar, Kivan de Ikka Ksuba Lemishkal, Kedine Mamines Dami. One opinion in the debate here, for example, Rabbi Akiva of the Brice we quoted above, holds that since one of the results of establishing that this woman's husband died is that, okay, now she'll be able to collect her Ksuba from his estate, we therefore can regard this as a monetary case. If it's a monetary case, well, then it's exempt from the cross-examination requirement. Umar Savar, Kivin de Kasharina Nesha Zishla Alma, Kedina Nefashas Dami. Another opinion, let's say Rabbi Tarfon of the last price that we quoted, goes with the more arguably intuitive understanding that what kind of question are we dealing with? If a witness comes and wants to say that a woman's husband has died, well, it's an erva question. It's a question of whether if another man were to live with this woman, would that be a capital offense? So this view argues that this must be considered a capital case. As such, the cross-examination requirement applies. And the Gemara closes out the Masechta with the following teaching. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marvim Shalom Ba'olam. He says, the Torah scholars bring peace to the world. Shenemar, as indicated by the Pasuk in Yeshaya, states, and in the version that's brought in Brachas and Increases, the teaching continues, Al Tikri, Bonayach, Ale Bonayach. Don't read a Bonayach, your sons, but Bonayach, your builders. And so it is a reference to the Talmidei Chachamim, who through their Torah study and mitzvahs helped to build spiritual worlds and make our world a better place, a more peaceful place. This concludes Masechtas Yevamos, Seder Nashim. It's been dedicated by Dr. Jeffrey and Gita Weinberger. Masechtas Yevamos was dedicated by Dr. Stephen Shiner and family of Yerushalayim, Lili Nishmas, their parents, Reuven and Bluma Shiner, Reuven ben Yaakov, Ubluma Bas Yaakov. May the schus of Limud Torah from Masechtas Yevamos of Seder Nashim be a tremendous schus for the Shiner family and for the Weinberger family. Yevamos was hard, but the more times we review it, the easier it will get. May we return to you, Yevamos. Hadron Allah Masechtas Yevamos. Mazel tov to everybody on the completion of the Masechta.
Listening to realclaredaf.com. Visit us online for resources or to dedicate a shiur. To speak with Rabbi Wise, call 855-ASK-RCD-1. That's 855-275-7231.